Good morning. Today's Limud Yom on Rosh Chodesh is Lezecher Nishmas Ha'isha Sara Hendel Bas Rav Yosef. The Yartzei, on the day of her Yartzei, may the learning be a zechus for her neshama, sponsored by Rabbi and Mrs. Eli Eisenbach. We're holding on Nun Amud Beis by the bottom two dots. In Mitzian Achilas Paris. So we learned before in the Mishnah that if you want to go ahead and let's say Reuven owns a field and Shimon steals the field from Reuven, and then Shimon sells that field that he stole to Levi, then Reuven comes back, and obviously he wants his field back, so he takes it away from Levi, and now Levi is coming to, says, well, you know, Shimon, I paid you $1,000 for the field, I want that field back, but Shimon had another of his fields that he sold to someone else. So for the $1,000 that he paid, he's allowed to take the full $1,000 back from Shimon, even if Shimon sold other fields. However, for the Paris that he invested in and he grew, that he's not allowed to be goyva from Nechasim Mishubadim. Rather, he could only be goyva from Nechasim B'nei Charin. So now the Gemara is going to explain what's the difference. Why for the $1,000 that he paid for the field, that he could be goyva even from Nechasim Mishubadim, but the Paris that he grew could only be nigva from Nechasim B'nei Charin, not Nechasim Mishubadim. My time, huh? What's the reason of that the payers are different than the price that he paid? Amar Ula, Amar Resh Lakish, Lefisha Ein Tzuvin. The reason is because they were not written in the document. So since so the price that you paid for the field, $1,000, that was written. However, the payers, it wasn't written exactly how many payers there are going to be, because no one knew how many pairs there would be. And therefore, since they're not custom in the document, so then therefore, you're not allowed to be goyva from the Mishabadim, from the Lekucha. So Dr. Rashi is going to explain a little bit clearer. Lefisha in Ksuvim, HaPiris Halalu, these fruits that the Lekeach, that Levi grew, in Shimon's field, they're not written in a document. What does that mean? K'shenichtav shtar, mechiras hakarka. When it was written, the document that Levi is buying the field from who he thought was the owner, but was really a ganav, hagzula, adayin lehayu. These peers did not exist yet. So like hosa b'shtar, and what was written in the shtar, elaploini mochar karka ploini leploini b'achrayas. So we're going to see soon this is not really quite true, but Rashi's saying, at least at this point, that what was written in the document, the main part of the document is the main part of the document is the fact that it's written that Pliny Mocher Karka Pliny Pliny Vachrayas. The fact that you bought the field, the Paris is not the main part of the document. Hilchoch Dmeya Karka Havu Kemilva Bishtar. Then therefore, the value that you paid, let's say $1,000 that you paid for the karka, have a kamilva b'shtar. And since it's a milva b'shtar, you could even be goyva min alakuchas avodmeya peiris. However, the value of the peiris that you grew, have a kamilva alpeh, that's like a milva alpeh. It's like a milva alpeh, the peiris. But like Tarfi me mishabdi. So
means that he's definitely obligated to pay him because that's fine. It's not written, it's not part of
The main shtar. So if you read Rashi quickly, it sounds like it's not written in the shtar at all. We're about to see it. It definitely is written in the shtar, the fact that you have the right to collect it. But there's like two parts of the shtar. There's the main part of the shtar, which is simply, you know, I'm buying the house at 3586 Berkeley, and then there's a lot of the fine print. So it is written in the fine print, but it's not written in the main. And we all know that a lot of us are not so wise, and we just read the main part of the document, and you know, and we're too old, and we can't look at all that fine print, and maybe we hire a lawyer, and the lawyer read it, but we don't necessarily read that. So again, so since that's not the famous part of the star, you know, most everyone knows that Levi bought from Shimon this thing. But if you want to know all the fine print, not everyone knows the details, and therefore there's no kol to the lekucha. So
that Levi rose after he died, right?
Correct.
But what is the appendix in the star? What does that mean?
Hold on 1 minute. So Rashi's about to quote the fine print in the star, and then we're going to see what it means. It's like a milval peh, even though it is written in the star, but it's like a milval peh that doesn't have a big kol. And therefore, when Levi wants to collect not just his $1,000, but also the fruit is worth $100, and now he wants to collect $1,100, the extra $100 is only like a milval peh, not like a milval bishtar. But afal gav the kasev lay, even though in the fine print of the star it is written, Anah ikum, Shimon wrote to Levi, I'm going to come, v'ashbi zvina, ilon inon, v'amaleon, besides for giving you the $1,000, I'm also going to give the amal. I mean, let's say, you know, you have to work very hard, and you put $100 worth of labor into the field, v'shevcheon, or let's say you bought the field from me 2 years ago, and you know, over the past 2 years, real estate prices have gone up 30%. So therefore, the shvach, let's say you were mishabech, you put up fences and you improved the property, who paid it on, and plus all the fruits that grew. Also, if the original bialim are going to take away the fruit, ahani lechayve b'achrayus, and therefore since it's written in fine print that you will pay the payers, however much will be grown, how much was grown, obviously you don't know at the time of the sale. You're going to have to, Beijing's going to have to evaluate that later. But so since it's in the fine print, it works like that you will be responsible for the achrayus, but ligvi b'nei chari, and therefore Levi could collect from the gan and from his b'nei charin. Up to the words, so right. So the nusach l'shtar was up to a period, meaning starting from anah ekum up to a period, and now Rashi is explaining ahani. Since it was written that you could be going for the shvach and you could be going for the peiros, but it's only in the fine print. So since it's only in the fine print, therefore you could only be going. It's not as chashev. It doesn't create as much of a kol as the main part of the document, and therefore you can't be goyve it from the mishubad and from the lekuchas, because the lekuchas certainly did not hear about all the fine print, right? The lekuchas hear about the main part of the shtar, and therefore they know there is a achrayus on the $1,000, but to know all the fine print and all those details, they don't possibly know. So basically, so you ask, how could it be written in the star of the payers? You don't know how much the payers are going to be. Right, you don't know, but it said whatever the payers are going to be, which is going to be determined, the value, based on going to determine the value at that time, will have to get paid. And that will get... And, well, yeah, if it's taken away. I mean, if I sell you a field and everything goes swimmingly, then there's no problem. But if in this case, Shimon didn't own the field. Shimon was selling Reuven's field. Shimon was the ganav. So therefore, it was written in the document that if for whatever reason, because my Baal Choyv, or in this case, because it was stolen, then I'm going to take responsibility, not just for the $1,000 that you paid me, but also for the work, for the shvach, and for the payers. That's all written in the document. Or maybe he just needed $1,000 quickly, and even though he knew the Kaiko would eventually get discovered, but he was planning on running away, or he was... Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the Ganav's plan is. Sometimes Ganavim don't think that far ahead, but I'll call upon him. Yeah, it was discovered, and now not only does he get to pay back the $1,000, but he also has to pay back the Shvach and the payers and all that. But that's only from the Bnei Chayrin and not from the Mishabadim. The Taima de Milva B'Shtar, Tafim Mishabdi. What's the reason why there's a difference between a milva bishtar and a milva balpeh. What's the reason why a milva bishtar, the halacha that you're goyva even from lekuches, however a milva balpeh not, mishum de islei kla. Because if there's a document, everyone knows about it. It's on public record. Anyone could go on Cuyahoga County website and clearly see the main part of the document. However, for all the fine prints and all those little details, and especially those details aren't even so clear, there's not so much of a call. The bishlama la karka nafikla. Bishlama on the etzem karka that Levi bought it from Shimon for $1,000, there's a call. Pliny machar l'pliny, Shimon sold it to Levi, the kibbutz of achrayus, and Shimon told Levi that there'll be a achrayus. Now, if anyone else wants to buy from Shimon a field, that then he knows, there's a lien on Shimon for $1,000. But on the periods that don't even exist, how could a kol go out? It's not the main part of the document. No one knows periods. How much are they worth? Well, we have no clue. Will it be good? Will this year the vineyard produce a lot of grapes? Will it be a little? Will the price of grapes be very high? Will it be low? I mean, like who would know that Russia would invade Ukraine and therefore the price of wheat would shoot up? No one knew about that. So therefore, there's no real kol on all the little details. So again, so according.
The
original owner took the field back, right, and now the buyer
now
said,
Levy,
"Well, I'm out on my money."
Levy's out of field.
He's out of field and his shvach and his peiris and all that.
So he basically goes to come back to Shimon.
Right.
And he gives him $1,000 plus.
The $1,000 will get even from Mishubadim, and then all. Even if Shimon had a field that, right, even if Shimon actually owned a different field, not stole, owned a different field and sold it to someone else, sold it to Likeach, then Levi could be goyva that other field from Likeach. I mean, let's say
doesn't have money for $1,000, he can go.
Right, correct. But on
the other stuff.
But for the other stuff, the shvach and the peiros, that stuff you could only be goyva from the Bnei Chayrin, not from the Mishabadim. So that's the first reason that the Gemara said why you cannot be goyva achilas peiros from the Chasim Mishabadim. Amrli Rav Abba Le'ula, Zokt Rav Abba Te'ula, according to you, Vamazin the Isha Vabanis, what about the Tanai Ksuva, that a person said, not only will I take care of my almana, but also I'm going to make sure to provide food for my wife and for any daughters that we're going to have, the command the Ksivi Dami, and over there it's Tanai Ksuva, and the Tanai Ksuva are as if they're written. And according to you, anything that's written could be goyva from the Chasim Mishabadim, Uktani Emaitzian. And yet it says over there that also the Tanai Ksuva of Muslim Isha Vabans, which are as if it's written in a document and everyone knows about it, and yet the halacha is that you cannot be goyva from Lekuchas, you could only be goyva from Bnei Chayrin. But according to you, that the whole reason is totally if there's a kol because it's written in the shtar, and over here the Tanai Ksuva does have a kol as if it's written in the shtar, and yet the halacha is that you can't be goyva from a kuchas. Dr. Ashi, command a ksivi dami de tanai bezin hu. Everyone knows that one of the things of a ksuva is A, you have to give 200 zuz, and number two, you have to provide food and take care of your wife and children. And as soon as you get married, everyone knows that there's a lien on you to pay a ksuva and to pay the tanai ksuva. And as soon as he dies, and he has two daughters, so everyone knows he's going to have to support them till they grow up and they get married. If he did not write in the ksuva that any daughter that I'm going to have, I'm going to provide for them, still I'm going to have to give them the atehiyasva bebesi, and also the amana, his wife, will be able to continue staying in his house. Chayiv shetanai bezin. Still your chayiv and the tanai ksuva, but ksuva's parak nara. We're going to learn about this more in ksuvas. For anyone who's doing Daf Yomi, they'll get up to this shortly. But anyways, over here there's a Tanai Ksuva that everyone knows about, and yet the halacha is also, it could only be from Bnei Chayrin and not Meshubadim, so it indicates that there's another reason.
Yeah.
So let's say again, Reuven marries Leah. And so then Reuven, before he married Leah, wrote her a Ksuva. So now if Reuven's going to die, then Leah had the right to if Reuven had a field and sold it after he got married, and then Reuven died, so then Leah could say, I want to collect the $200 even from a Lekeach. She had a Shibud on it.
Besides,
another part of the Ksuva is that who's going to, you know, in the olden days, Leah didn't work, so therefore part Reuven said, I'm going to provide food for you, I'm going to provide a roof over your head. So, but over there, that's not such small print, because that's print that everyone knows about. Every single person who gets married has this written in the Ksuva document. So that's not like small print that people are unaware of, that the that he managed to sneak in. This is small print that everyone knows about. So over there we're saying it says if it's written in the large print. And yet the halacha is you could only be goyva from Bnei Chayrin. The $200 you could be goyva even from Meshubadim. But the Mezainis, you could be goyva only from Bnei Chayrin. Even though it's like it's written in, it's command Ksivi Dami, it's as if it's either it is written or it's as if it's written and it is famous. Everyone knows about it. Everyone knows you have to take care of your children, and therefore part of the state is that you're going to have to provide for food for your children. You're not going to leave if Chas V'Shalom Reuven died and you leave a 3-year-old daughter, you're not going to let the 3-year-old daughter starve. Everyone knows that part of it is however much it costs for Mezainis. Right, and that's a Tanai Bezin, that even though it's not written in the document.
So you cannot get Meshubadim on
that. Right. So that's the Gemara's question. If everything is just based on the fact that it's written in the document and the Lekuchas are going to be aware of it, and therefore the buyer is able to protect himself and beware, well, over there the buyer could have known about it. It was pretty famous. Everyone knew that he was married and he had two daughters, and this is the Shibud. And yet the halacha is that you can't take away from the Lekuchas. Why not? Amar Lei. Over there, that was the original takana. It's as if, again, really it's not written in the ksuva, but it's as if it's written klapid b'nei chayrin, ve'ein ksuvin hein etzel meshubadim. Over there, Chazal originally instituted about the $200, it's written completely, and you can be given even from the kuchas. But about the muzzin, which is sort of which is undefined. How long are you going to have to take care of your almana? Well, let's say Reuven dies when he's 40 and she lives to 110. That's 70 years worth of mezainis. So it's very hard for a lekeach to calculate, well, how much is he going to be meshubet there? Well, if she dies 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years
later.
Well, over here, this was actually built into the takana. That the $200 could be, it was actually built into it. That this, in the small print, it says if it was written, Chazal made this takana that the 200 zuz, you could be goyva from the kuchas, and the other stuff, it's written into the document that we cannot be goyva. So even though they heard about it, what's the reason for this takana? Chazal put that in the takana, because otherwise, if you ever want to sell a field, anyone that's married, no one's going to want. I mean, if you're a bachelor, fine. If you're married, and then the buyer's like, well, I have no clue when you're going to die or you're going to get divorced, and I have no clue how long you're going to have to support your almana or your daughters, and, you know, it's hard to calculate what's going to be the price of food in 10 years, and, no one's going to want to do business, and it's going to destroy the whole economic system. Then, therefore, that's, written into the document. That was Meikara Hachi Iskin. Let's see the bottom Rashi. This was all part of the Tanai Bezin, that you are obligated that anything that's left in this state of Shimon would be Meshubed. They will not be considered as if it's written. Why? Why not? Because then no one's going to want to buy a field from his married friend. If there's going to be forever a shibud of mezainis, I mean not forever, but for the whole entire life of his wife and on the daughters, you know, until they grow up, it's just like too hard for people to for lekuchas to calculate, and therefore they're always going to be scared. They're always going to be thinking 10 times before they buy a land, and that's not good for the tikkun ha'olam. Yeah, so correct. So it's not theoretically for forever. It'll stop if she gets remarried. It'll stop if she. The bonus also, let's say, when they get married, or right, yeah. So they get really maybe much more significant. I mean, well, depending on how much money there is, you know. If you have $1 million estate, then they have the $900,000 that they could take care of, and you just put aside $100,000. For this, you know, if the state doesn't have that much, then I guess the bunnies will make out like bandits, and the bunnies, so they'll have to go beg on the streets. We don't want our daughters going and begging. And nowadays, sometimes the girls go around collecting. I personally don't like that, but according to the Gemara, we don't want daughters begging on the doors. A son, okay, fine, so the son has to go begging.
Bottom line is, there's nothing, what your shim or whatever these may buy, never collect anything from Shubas. What only Shubas is the only thing that can be taken away from the Lokea, of the Zerba.
Okay, correct.
Of this,
right, correct. The Gemara continues, V'chein Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechanan, Rav Asi, Amar of Yechanan give the same answer as Ula, Lafisha Inksuvim, that the reason for in our Mishnah why you can't be Goyva, the Paris from the Mishubadim, is because it's not written in the main, in the large print, in the famous part of the document. Amar of Zeila Rav Asi, V'madan Ishav Abonis, the exact same question. So basically you had another base match and you had the exact same conversation. V'madan Ishav Abonis, the command Iksivi Dami. But what about the fact that you have to support your wife and children that everyone knows about, that there is a kol, it's as if it's written, Uktani Ein Moitziyin, and still you can't be Moitziyit. Amar Lei, he answered him, the same exact answer. Mehara, Meikara Hachi Iskin, this was the original Takana, Silvanhein, Eitzel B'nei Chayrin, that it is written, Klapi B'nei Chayrin, and you could be given from the Kuchas. Sorry, it's Silvanhein, Eitzel B'nei Chayrin, Klapi your B'nei Chayrin, then it is written in a document. However, V'ein Silvanhein, Eitzel Meshubadim, from the Lekuchas, the original Takana was that you cannot be given from the Chasim Meshubadim, on the Muslim Ha'isha V'Abanis.
Isn't it a little odd to me that
So in general, you'll notice, like, sometimes in the Gemara, they'll say, he said in the name of him, and him, and him. And the point is, if you want to align all the names, or align all the shittas, we're going to bring down a second answer right now, who's going to disagree with what we've said until now. So if you want to know who holds what, we want to know. So both Ula and Rav Asi Amar Rav Yechanan hold this way, as opposed to Rav Chanina, who we're about to see, is going to hold it. So in the Gemara, it's always very, especially Gemara was meant to be Baal Peh, not written. I mean, nowadays we obviously need it because it's very hard for me to memorize the whole entire Shas. But it was meant to be Baal Peh, and therefore we always want to get all our stories correct, and we want to know who all the Shittas are. And a lot of times it's going to be relevant who holds what. But there are times in the Gemara that it'll just have the exact same shackle of a tie. Okay, so that was answer number one. So the first answer of Ula was that what's the reason why you're not goyva from the Kuchas is because it wasn't written in the large print. There was no kol that was yaitse. Rav Chanina Amar, Rav Chanina gives another answer, a little bit similar. Lefi she'ein kitzuvim. Not because they're not written, but because it's not katsuv. What does that mean? Because it's like we mentioned before, it's not kutsiv, it's not a set amount. It's hard to figure out how much is the shvach gonna be. I mean, I don't know how much is the real estate market gonna go up next year. If I had that crystal ball, you know, I could make a like a bandit. How much pears are you gonna grow? how much are the payers going to be worth? It's very hard for lekuchas to figure out, and therefore to protect the lekuchas, we say when we go for the lekuchas, so the 200 zuz, which is set in the ksuva, or the sticker price that you paid on the property. It says you bought this house for $350,000. So fine, so they know that there's a lien on you for $350,000, but to know how much it's going to go up and how much the payer is, that's something which is too hard, and therefore you cannot be geyla. So now it's not so clear, what is he saying? Is he saying you need two things? You need it's written and katsiv, or he's just saying it's totally unkatsiv? Ibayaluhu. The Rav Chanina, according to the second opinion, what was he doing? He was saying his own reason, or he was adding? Ketsuvim uksuvim bay, is he saying not only do you need that it's written in the document and there's a kol, but also you need that it's katsiv? We're saying it doesn't have to be written in a document. As long as it's katsuf, then the halacha is that you could be geiva from a shubadim. Meaning in a different case, but the payers can't be fixed. But I mean theoretically you could make up a case that we make up in the document that the average price of payers would be $50 a year. I mean, you could make up anything in a financial contract, and then it would be katsiv. But yeah, but we just think katsiv would just mean something else, which would be katsiv. You know, let's say it said the house and a set amount for inflation.
So the question is, is he adding or is he arguing?
Right. Yeah. That's basically the question. Didn't answer yet. That's the Gemara's question, and we're going to try to bring a raya to that.
Is there such a thing that nobody, that somebody thinks he's not going to pay it off? Is there any amount of money that says, I don't pay for those payers, I only pay for land?
I mean, it just, again, it all depends what was written in the shtar. Over here, it was written in the shtar, in the small print.
It would not have been written at all. He could say, I'm sorry, I only took the land
from
you. Whatever you think the
bears,
I'm
right.
Not responsible at all.
So, right, so you have to know, there's two things always to take into account. One thing is what's written, and another thing is, so you always have to know, let's say, so there's one shaila is, let's say, achrayas. Even if you didn't write achrayas, if it's stolen, then obviously, even if it's not written, you're going to have to pay that back because that's just self-evident. But let's say in the case that a Baal Chayv is Goyva, so in certain requirements, there's automatically a minig for Achrayas. So that will be automatic. So you just have to know, is there a minig al-Makam that automatically is included Achrayas plus pay? But if it's not written and there's no clear minig, then you won't be obligated. If there is a minig, or if it's written in the document, then... And, you know, B'derech Kol in Chesh HaMesh, but basically we follow the shtar. I mean, unless it's like Masha Mashkot. Yeah.
B'derech Kol, who pays it?
Oh, that means the Ganav himself. If the Ganav himself has assets...
The buyer never pays.
Right, yeah. B'nei Charen is always from the buyer, and Mishabadim means from the Kuchas.
To the Nigzom? He pays for the...
The Gazan is paying his buyer. I mean,
what's your Havamina? Why should a buyer pay for the payers? You really, but they never got it. Who gets those payers? The Nigzal gets the payers?
The Nigzal, even though he didn't work for it, he's still going to get the payers. Right. So there will be a complicated formula, which we're not going into right now. Would that mean, let's say, for those payers, you had to invest. Let's say you had to invest $50 to make $100 worth of payers, right? So at the beginning, did Rabbi Magarathan already speak about that? So there is, so it's fun. So we will work something out, but let's just pretend, just for simplicity's sake, for now, that it didn't cost any money. I got seed for free, and it didn't cost me any money. I'm just trying to make it simple. Not that that's a likely case.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the buyer. The buyer gets his contract and says, "I'm paying the payments.
I'm buying a
building. You're buying the field. Now I'm selling you." I'm selling it. That is the price for the payers and everything else. So, now who gets paid? Who gets paid?
for the parents. The case is not what you're saying.
Let me say the case again and make sure we're on the same thing. There's also two buyers. You might get confused. I mean, Reuven is the original owner. Shimon stole it from Reuven, and he sold it to Levi. Now, besides for that, Shimon had a different field, which he actually owned. Shimon the Ganav also had a field that he actually owned, and he sold it to a different buyer. Maybe I should use a different word for, and he sold to Yehuda. So now Levi is coming back to Shimon to collect, said, hey, I paid you for your field, and that field was not yours. And unfortunately, the Ganav, the reason maybe why he stole it was because he didn't have any money. So therefore, now Levi is going to go to Yehuda, the buyer of Shimon's actual field, and collect. Yeah? Okay, fine. So what was your question?
Where is
the Bnei Charon? Bnei Charon is Shimon the Ganav, so he has to pay Levi.
Levi.
Yeah, if he had any Bnei Charon, he's going
to...
Okay. Top Rashi. Ksuvin va'af al pi she'in ksuvim ve'isle de milva al peh, and he holds that milva peh she ketsuva, which is a set amount harfame meshabdi. So it will come out according to this side on the Gemara a big chish that even though it's a milva al peh, it's not a milva b'shtar because it's not kosev, as long as it's a set amount, still the lakucha should have found out about that milva al peh, and they have to protect themselves, and therefore I could be goyva from the lakuchas. That's the Gemara's second side. So now the Gemara's... What? Yeah, it's a very big chiddush to say that it's not right, which is why I would have assumed more like the first thing that he's adding. A, of course you need it to be written, it has to be a milva b'shtar, but by the way, the milva b'shtar has to be cut. So the second side, that even a milva b'al peh is good for Mishra Bazin, sounds like a big chiddush. So now we're going to have to... Yeah? Right, even though it's not written in the document at all.
But the document itself. And then you would take from Mishabadim?
Yeah.
Where do we even stretch it to say it was Mishabadim?
The whole conversation is, you could always be going from Bnei Chayyim. The whole...
Actually, there's
a shtar on the $1,000, but there's no, but there wasn't a right. Because otherwise, why is there a shibud at all? Right? So there obviously has to be a shibud, but either it could be you had an oral tonight, or it could be that it was written in fine print and the kuchas didn't hear about it. That would be two ways that would be determined the milva b'al peh, meaning it's classified as the milva b'al peh. It's not necessarily actually a milva b'al peh. Yeah, it could be written in fine print. Right.
So what's the boil? So ketsuva means we know what it's going to be, we know what it's going to...
It's a set amount. Right. That ketsuva just means set amount. It's very clear, and therefore it doesn't have to make complicated calculations. You don't need to have to hire an actuary. Well, what's the expected lifespan, and what's the expected price, and you know that's like just too complicated.
So do you need both to others to collect mishubut, or any just one?
Correct.
That's what's okay. Now I can.
Good. Tushma. We're stopping at 6:40 today. Okay, fine. So I don't know if we'll be able to finish this, but let's just start on it. Tushma. The Itmar. Okay, we'll need a little bit of background. Fine, so let's start. The Itmar. Misha Meis. This is the Mishnah Ksuvis. Misha Meis v'diach shnei banos uben. A guy dies, and he leaves over. He has two daughters and one son. And the halacha is that only a son yarshins, not daughters if they're sons, but you do take care of your daughter, and the way that they did it was is you gave 10% of your estate towards her marriage, towards her nidunya. So if you had $1 million, you gave $100,000 towards her marriage. If you had only $10,000, you gave $1,000. 10% of the estate. What? Yeah. So you give 10% of the estate toward the marriage. The kadma harishayna. So now the oldest daughter wanted to get married. The nutla asir nechasim. So even though she doesn't get a yerusha, but she did get 10% of the estate. V'lo yispika shniya ligvus. And the second daughter wasn't ready to start shiduchim yet. You know, she was waiting for her older daughter, so she didn't take the 10% towards her marriage. Ad shemeis haben. and now the son dies, and now there's no sons to Yerushin. So now the whole Yerusha is going to go to these two daughters. So let's say you start off with $100,000. $10,000 was already taken towards the first chasen, and now you're left with $90,000. Now what do? So you split it 45 and 45, and the second daughter is not going to get the 10%. Right? Or do you first say, okay, the first daughter already got the 10,000, let's give the second daughter 10,000, you'll be left with 80,000, and then split the 80,000, 40-40. Clear? Okay. Achim Eishaben. Rav Yochanan Shnia Vitra. It's too bad the second one lost out on her $10,000. Because what's the whole reason why we give her $10,000? Is that way she can make a chasana. Well, now she's getting $45,000, right? Half of the 90. So she can make a chasana with the $45,000. Until the first daughter got the $10,000, because at that point she wasn't getting the Yerusha, because the son was getting all the money. So that's why she got the $10,000. But the second daughter, by the time it comes for a chasana, she doesn't just have $10,000, she can make a super fancy chasana for $45,000. So the first, so it comes out that the first one gets $10,000 plus $45,000, and the second one only gets $45,000 left. Let's see Rashi. The Nutla Isser Nechasim Shezeh Mishpat Abanis. This is the din of the banis, Bishas Bagris. So in those days they used to get married when they were 12, Oy Nisuin, or at the time of Nisuin. Little Isser Nechasim Bachnosos. And they would get 10% of the state towards the dunya of their marriage. There's another part of the Tanaik Suva is that they got mezainis. So in addition to mezainis, so it's not like, you know, people think only the sons yarshin and the daughters don't yarshin. It's like the daughters are totally left on the street. It's not true. We're not leaving the daughters on the street. We're making sure for their parnasa. We make sure that they have food, that they have a roof over their heads, we make sure that they have money to get married, we do take care of her. But the second daughter did not take, the term that we use, even though people think parnasa means like food, in terms of the Gemara, we use the term parnasa for the 10% towards the marriage. So she didn't have time to take her parnasasa, shlenisis, because she didn't get married yet, because, you know, she wasn't shiduchim. She was waiting for the older one, atshemes haben, v'nofak ha'yushal lefnei shteyan, shnia vitra. Rav Yochanan says that the second one loses out on her 10,000, on her 10%, on her $10,000, ibda isser nechasim shela. She's not going to collect that $10,000, v'loy amrinan, and don't tell me, first tikvi isser nechasim bereisha, first let her collect the $10,000, and then the remainder, which won't be 90, the remainder, which will be $80,000, then they should divide 50-50 with her sister. The time of the kinu isser nechasim, what's the whole reason why Chazal was misakin that you give 10% to the daughter? Because they should have lebanas parnasas nesuin. That way they'll be able to attract a husband and give it in the dunya. She has a lot more than that, so there's no reason for this takana of Tanai Bezin, and therefore, I guess it worked out, the mazel, that the first one got significantly more than the second one. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion.
These are sounds that voluntarily, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not really about, I mean, I guess theoretically if she knew the father was dying, she could have quickly rushed to, you know, say I'm going to lose, you know. But Vitra, yeah, over here it just means she lost it. It doesn't really mean that she nicely said it. She could be kicking and screaming. But Amar Le Rav Chanina, however, Rav Chanina disagrees. That's not true. It's not fear that the first one should get the 10% and the second one should not. G'dayla mizu amru. But there's even a bigger halacha about the Tanai Basin. It says, Mitzian leparnasa. You're allowed to be mitzi. This is an important part for our raya. Mitzian leparnasa. Ve'ein mitzian lemezainis. Even though we learned before that for the Tanai Ksuva of mezainis, of the Isha and the Bonus, which is not a set amount, The halacha is you can't be good from the kuchis. However, the parnasa, which is a set amount, it's a set 10%, of whatever the state is. So in my case, if there's the state with $100,000, the 10%, that's a set amount, and you are allowed to be moshi from lekuchas. Va'at amet shnei vitra. So it's so powerful that I could even take from the chasim meshubadim, I could even take from the lekuchas the 10%, and you're going to tell me even when there's the open money from the state that I can't collect my 10%? It's in the chasim of the Tanai Ksuva. I'm allowed to be goyva from the lekuchas, from the chasim meshubam. That's going to be the main part of our raya in a second. But first, to get the case straight.
That's one thing. That one item that's always meshubam.
Right. So besides for 200 zuz that you could be goyva from the lekuchas, there's a second thing that we didn't mention. Is the 10%, not the mazin habanus, but the 10% towards the marriage. Everyone knows 10% of the state is meshubah to eat. And again, 10% for the first daughter, 10% for the second daughter. You know, if there's seven daughters, that...
From the remaining, or
weeks? So the chayil will be 10% of the remaining, because otherwise that... You know, if you have 11 daughters, it's going to be... The math is not going to work out so well. And it's the daughter when she's getting married. That's what happened. The first daughter was already in Shidduchim. The second daughter wasn't yet in Shidduchim.
And that's considered
katsuv? Yeah, that's katsuv, because it's not a set value, but it's a set percentage, and if it's not so hard to right. So Zogt Rashi, v'amalei Rav Chanina. Oh wait, actually let me just finish. Let me just finish off the raya. So just to finish off the raya, the parnasa the makes kites. So the Gemara says that parnasa is a very set 10%, and mechtav loksiva. It's not written. Right? It's not written. It's only the Tanai Ksuva. It's not written. Only 200 Zuz is written. But it is Mekas Kaika, Vekamitsiya. So we have a Raya that obviously you don't need it to be written in a document. It is a Tanai Bezin, but you don't need it to be written in a document. All you need it to be Katsuv. So the Gemara says it's not a Raya. Shani Parnosa, Kivin Dislakla, Kamanda Ksiva Dami. Parnosa is also famous. Everyone knows as soon as you die, that 10% of the state is going to go towards your daughter's chas, you know? And therefore, it's Kamanda Dislakla and Kamanda Ksiva Dami. Okay. And you will be collect from Lakuchas. So besides for 200 Zuz, but also the 10% will be collected. Because it is kosev, and it says if it's kosev, correct. And then therefore, we right. And then in that case of the mission, there will be a machlekes of Chanina and Rav Yochanan.
Because the son died. Maybe she's entitled to it.
Wait, there's two different discussions here. There's one discussion over there in Ksuvis, which has nothing to do with Agamara of Viter, and then there's a second discussion of here, which is just is the conversation make its kais or the cuts. So going back to over there in Ksuvis, the discussion over there in Ksuvis is that there's a machloikis between Rav Yochanan. If the first daughter already collected the 10%, the second daughter did not collect the 10%, but she got a Yerusha, was Chazal Masakin that right. Had nothing to make it kite to Mechtav Lekshiva. Oh, no, that's all on the first. That was all part of the Ksuvas. Shnei Vitra was just a quote of the Mishnah. That was not part of our Gemara. Right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mean, that was of Chanina's question and Rav Yochanan over there in Ksuvas. And now the Gemara here in Ksuvas starts from Vaparnasa to make it kite. I mean, first we're just end quote. Even though that's not relevant to us. Right. Yeah.
You don't understand.
Okay.
She's going to argue if it says you would get it?
Yeah, she's right. So he's saying that the first one gets the 10,000, so let's be fair. So then also the second one should get the 10,000, and then there'll only be 80,000 left.
Does that affect our
It doesn't affect it. That's just a quote from Machlokes and Ksuvis, just to bring out one small. Because a lot of times we'll bring a whole entire quote, and then we'll just bring the raya from the first half of Rav Chanina's statement, and then we just we're not going to quote half a statement, so we finish quoting it. Okay. the Chodesh. Okay, I hope I didn't rush that last ride. I thought you told me to end at 40, so.
Oh, let's visit it next time.
There's no next time.
No,
thank you very much for filling in. Enjoyed very much.
Wow. All right, see ya.
Follow the Rashi and everything.
Did you shut up?
Oh, I hung it up.
I found something.